You know, you're here tonight on a Saturday night, and there's other things to be doing. You might as well get something if you came out and made the effort. You know, you coming to church does nothing for him. Why do I say that? Because if you think that just sitting in a seat and filling the seat does something for him, doesn't do anything for him. He never changes. He already loves you as much as he's going to love you. You sitting in the seat do something for you. But if you're going to come out and make the effort on Saturday night to come out to church and to sit in a seat, you might as well come and do it the right way, because the Bible says that the people aren't blessed for just showing up. People showed up in Mark chapter 6 and they didn't get anything from Jesus. The Bible says, blessed are they which hunger and thirst. They shall be filled. They shall be satisfied. You say, what does that mean to hunger and thirst? What does that look like? You just make a decision right now. Flesh, I don't care what you're saying. Mind, I don't care what you're saying. I'm glad to be here. I'm hungry for the Word. When you get thrilled with the Word is when it'll work for you. The Word is powerful. It can change your life. But until you're excited, until you're hungry for the Word, won't do a thing for you. So if you came out, you might as well just get hungry. Praise God. Hallelujah. Father, we're just so grateful tonight to be in your presence, to be in your house. Lord, to be gathered together around your precious, holy Word. Father, your Word is what we need. Your Word is our help. Your Word is our compass, our GPS, our roadmap to success. Father, it is your Word that can get us out of the stuck places. It is your Word that can get us out of the lost places. It is your Word that can deliver us from the confusing places, from the oppressive places, from the poverty places, from the sickness places. So, Father, we thank you for deliverance tonight. We thank you for help tonight. Father, as I preach your Word here tonight, this is not about a man. This is not about the name on the sign in the front of the building. This is about Jesus. This is about you, and this is about the Holy Ghost, and this is about your precious Word. So, Father, as I open my mouth, I trust that you'll fill it with words from heaven. Father, may I speak as the oracles of God tonight, not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and power. Father, I thank you that you'll make my tongue like the pen of a ready writer, as the psalmist of old said. And Father, I thank you I'll speak words from heaven. Father, I'll hit bullseyes in people's hearts tonight. And what I mean by that is things will be said through me that will be so specific to each of the hearers in the room. Father, it'll be like you're speaking just to them. Father, you can do that. I don't know how to do that. So we give you the praise. We thank you for supernatural message tonight. Supernatural words. And we'll give you the glory. We'll give you the honor. We'll give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles, you can open to John chapter 20. I do encourage you to bring your Bibles to church. That's a good place to bring your Bibles. John chapter 20 and verse 24. If you don't have your Bibles, we do have it up on the screen for you. And if you're wondering why we put that up there, well, a few reasons. Sometimes people are newer, don't bring their Bibles, and we want people to see that this ain't the pastor making this stuff up. This is because you know what? I'm just going to tell you the truth. The Bible's, it's almost too good to be true at times in the sense of what God offers you. And you hear things that come out of my mouth, that's got to be too good to be true. He must be making that up. No, it's in the Word. It's in the Word, praise God. His Word is His will to you. It's a will and testament. He left it for you to declare what He has for you. Praise God. And I'll tell you what, it's sometimes too good to be true, seems like, to the mind, because God's good. Praise God. So John chapter 20, you know, almost 9 years ago, well, 9 years ago, a little over 9 years ago in September, we started the South Dayton Church. And before that, and in the year leading up to that, when I knew I was going to start the church, I knew I was going to start that church for about a year. And in preparation, I'd always go for walks with my dog, Wrigley. We're believing she's in heaven now. And I would pray and always get stuff on those walks with her, you know, from heaven. And one of the things the Lord spoke to me is He said that your church will major in the area of faith and love. Well, at the time, you know, I'd just come out of different colleges and stuff years earlier, you know, so I knew about majors. And for those of you that have been to college, you know about majors, or if you know about college, you have to go there to know about majors, but there's majors and minors. And for example, you know, if you major in biology, the majority of your work in school is going to be in the biology field, you know, or if you major in something else, physical therapy, it's going to be that. But then there's minors, where in other different core classes and things that you have to take that aren't in line with the major. But he said we're going to major in love, or in faith and love. And what that means is we're going to talk a lot about faith and love. Praise God. And so when he leads me, the Holy Ghost leads me to preach on the subject of faith, it doesn't surprise me because he told me almost 10 years ago that's what we're going to be doing. And it's vital, and we'll see some of those things tonight. But in John chapter 20 and verse 24, the Word says, "But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came." Now this is after Jesus had died, rose again, appeared to them. "The other disciples said unto him, 'We've seen the Lord.'" Talk about the risen Jesus. "But he," Thomas, "said unto them, 'Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I won't believe.' And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. And then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said unto them, 'Peace be unto you.' Then he said to Thomas," he already knew what Thomas was saying, "'Reach hither your finger, behold my hands,'" basically see my hands, see the hole, see they're there, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing.' And Thomas answered, saying, 'My Lord and my God.' Jesus said unto him, 'Thomas, because you have seen me, you've believed.'" Or you can say it this way: "Thomas, you have faith because you've seen." That's all belief is just faith. That's all faith is just belief. You can say it vice versa. He said, Blessed are they," so we need to get into the "they" category, "which have not seen but believe." Now, what he's saying is, blessed are the people that enter into faith. Because the Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So what he's saying is, blessed are the people that choose faith. Listen to what it says in the Message Bible. I love what it says here. It says, "So you believe because you've seen with your own eyes. Even better blessings are in store for those who believe without seeing." What's he saying? The better blessings are set aside for the people that enter into this thing called faith, which has nothing to do with sight. Amen? So we need to endeavor to make sure that the platform or the foundation that we're standing in as Christians is a foundation, is a platform of going forward in faith. Why? That's where the better blessings are. That's where the blessed are. That's the they that are blessed. We need to be the they that are blessed. Jesus is giving us a little indication of what we need to do in our lives. Jesus is telling us, thank you for the tip, Jesus. Amen. He's saying, "I, if I were you, would choose faith." Praise God. Amen. I choose faith.
Amen.
I choose faith. Now, he's talking about blessings. He said the better blessings are in store for them that are in faith or that believe. He said it here, that blessed are they. Blessed. What's blessing? Favor and peace and prosperity and healing and joy and victory. All these things are the ones that enter into faith. Well, where do those blessings flow from? They flow from Him. God's the blesser. God's the healer. God's the provider. God's the protector. God's the door opener. God's the door closer. He's the promoter, praise God. He's the one. They come from Him. The blessings flow from God. Now, think about this, though. He said, blessed are they that are in faith. So what he's saying is, the blessings come from me, but they flow to you through faith. Go to Ephesians 2 and verse 8. We've seen this many times, but I'm trying to drive home a point here. Ephesians 2 and verse 8. Now look at what he says about faith here and about him and his grace, his power. It says, "For by grace are you saved." Now, if you're wondering, what is grace? A good acronym for grace that I've heard years ago that I like is God's riches at Christ's expense. Well, what are God's riches? God's riches are His blessings. What are part of God's riches? Salvation is a part of His riches. Healing is a part of His riches. All these things I just mentioned before, prosperity and favor and joy and supernatural things, they're His riches. But look what he says here. For by grace are you saved. So, I don't know about you, but I got born again January 10th, 2002 in a hunting cabin in Youngsville, Pennsylvania. And I didn't get saved because I did anything. I mean, I had to walk out a process, but it was ultimately because of His grace. Amen?
Amen.
His mercy. But the Bible didn't stop there and say, for by grace are you saved, and that's all, just because God's grace. No, no, we had a part to play. It says, by grace are you saved through what? Faith.
Amen.
What is he saying now? The ability to deliver you from the kingdom or the power of darkness was because of his grace and his power. You can't deliver yourself from the kingdom of darkness. You can't deliver yourself from the power of Satan. Only God's grace can do that. But God's grace couldn't flow in your direction for that deliverance without you laying a pipeline or an avenue for God to flow that through. What does He flow that through? He flows it through faith. Jesus said, blessed are the ones in faith. Why? The ones in faith lay an avenue or a road for God to flow the grace. Notice, because think about how you got born again. You didn't just wake up saved. Now, He had the bigger part. You had the smaller part, but you still had a part. When you get healed, He's got the bigger part doing the healing, but you still have a part. When you're broke and have no way out, and God, you know, you need a touch financially, and He does the hard part, but you have a part. Well, when you got saved, you had a part. He had the big part, which was what? His grace and mercy. The ability to deliver you out of the grips of Satan. Out of the throes of darkness.
Amen.
But it flowed through something. Faith. It didn't flow through his faith. It flowed through your faith. Well, what was the steps? You heard about Jesus. Faith rose up. You released your faith. By releasing your faith, you laid a road. You laid a pipeline. You laid an avenue for God, and He flowed His grace and mercy and delivered you out. Well, it's the same way for all the promises of God.
Amen.
Think about a fire hydrant. Well, those fire hydrants, they're there not just for curbside decoration.
Yeah.
I don't know how it works. Do they have a tank or something with water in it? Are they hooked up to some city line? I don't know, but water comes out of them.
Yeah.
You know, you ever seen it when fire or something, you know, and the firemen will come over and they'll hook the hose into it and they'll use that and flow through that to put out the fires.
Yeah.
Now think about it. That water's always there.
Yeah.
That water's always present.
Right.
Until somebody hooks into it.
Yeah.
The flow of that blessing doesn't come through that hose.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Yeah.
God is always the healer. God is always the deliverer. God is always the provider. God is always the answer. God is always your help. He's always ever ready and ever willing and ever able to do what you need in your life. Always. He doesn't have a bad day. He doesn't bump his head and wake up mad. He doesn't stay up too late the night before and wake up grumpy. He's always loving. He's always mercy. That should be good news to you, because if you need something from Him, His answer is yes. His answer is yes. But just like that fire hydrant there is in a sense saying, I'm here to be a blessing to put out trouble. But the firemen don't just get there and just look at that fire hydrant. Do something. Do something. No, they hook into it. A lot of Christians just do something. Do something. No, 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 that's not how it works. You got to hook into it. How do you hook into it? By faith. Jesus said, blessed are the faith ones. He didn't say blessed are just God's children. Blessed are the children that enter into faith. Praise God. Now, I want to drill this point home to you, and I don't know of a better story. There may be ones that rival it, but I don't know of a better story in the Bible where it shows us in a dire crisis situation that faith absolutely was required, that the help was there, the hydrant was there, the ability to put out that fire was there, but until somebody hooked into it, they didn't receive. Go with me to Matthew chapter 15 and verse 22. Are you glad you're here? I'm glad you're here. Matthew 15, 22. Hopefully nobody pulled in tonight and saw his truck and said, "Darn it, he's back." Why him? Matthew 15, 22. I want to show you a story here because old time religion has brainwashed people that if you need something from God, you pray and you hope that He hears your prayer. And if He doesn't do it, it's because of His sovereignty and He's teaching you a lesson. And that idea gets you sitting on your hands, sitting on your duff, doing nothing. Looking at that fire hydrant. I just don't understand why that fire hydrant just must not want to put that fire out today. No, it always wants to put that fire out, but somebody's got to hook into it. And if you don't get this point ingrained in you and drilled in you and branded into you, you won't step over and to say, "I can't afford to not be in faith." Here's the thing. God, and you'll see with this point, only flows His power, mercy, grace, healing, prosperity through the avenue of faith. If you choose to not be in faith, that's the equivalent of the fireman unhooking the hose while the fire's burning and taking the hose over and trying to spray it and nothing's coming out. Why are they unhooked? I'm just telling you. And so you better get this, because you better decide tonight, every area of my life, everything I'm believing for, everything I need change and turnaround for, it's not going to happen because I got a pretty face. You'll see here what I'm talking about. Matthew 15 and verse 22. "And behold, a woman of Canaan." One translation, Luke's translation, says she was a Syrophoenician woman, so she wasn't a Jew. "Came out of the same coast and cried unto Him, saying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, you Son of David.'" Now get this now. You talk about crisis. "My daughter is grievously..." Not minorly, not a little bitly, "grievously vexed or tormented with a devil." The stealer, the killer, the destroyer tormenting this young girl. Parents, I don't know about you, but there's nothing that presses upon my ability to be tempted to be afraid, to be tempted to enter into worry and anxiety, than when it comes to things with my children. Yeah. My finances don't push me to that to the limit. Even my own body doesn't push that to that limit. My children are the thing that is always dangling there as a temptation. Yeah. And don't enter into that of the devil, because you just love them so much. Yeah. You love your children. You do anything for your kids. Move heaven and earth for your children. Well, think about this woman. She's facing her daughter, her very own daughter, is grievously vexed with the devil. So she's coming to Jesus. "But He answered her not a word." Now I want you to focus and think about this situation. The desperation, the human drama, the emotion that's there. She's coming to her fire hydrant. "I need this fire put out. Do something." And what's He doing? Not answering her a word. Doesn't say anything. Now I'm going to establish some things here in a second before you start thinking, what a mean Jesus. "And His disciples came and besought Him, saying, 'Send her away, for she's crying after us now.'" So apparently when He didn't answer her, she went to the second best thing she knows. Let's go to the ones that are hanging around Him. Yeah. And they're saying, they're doing the same thing and running to Jesus and telling on her, "Get her away from us." She's desperate. "But He answered and said, 'I'm not sent, but only unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel.'" What's He saying? "I'm here for the Jews." She ain't a Jew. "I'm not here for that." She's hearing this. "Then came she, worshipped Him, saying, 'Lord, help me.'" And look what He says to her. "But He answered her and said," at least He's going to answer her now, "'It's not meet or it's not right to take the children's bread.'" What was the children's bread? The blessing for the Jews. children of Israel. So it's not right to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. I don't do that. Time for mealtime and Willow's at the table. You know, off of the, she's actually a pretty good dog. She sits off to the side and lays down, you know. Oh, here, Caleb and Abby, I don't want you to eat tonight. I'm going to give it to Willow. That's not right. That's out of order. And Jesus said, it's not right for me to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, that's right. That's right. That's not right. Now, remember now, she comes here one time. He ignores her. She runs to the disciples. They ignore her. That's twice she's denied. Not only when the disciples ran back, then she gets to hear, I'm not here for her. That's three times. Then she says to him something else. And a fourth time, he says, I'm not here for you. It's not right for me to help you. Four times. She doesn't get the response she wants. But then she says something. Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. And I know that as a dog owner, that's true. You know, we had my in-laws, they have a little black lab puppy named Quinn. This thing is nuts. I mean, we normally like to have like multiple dogs. You know, when Wrigley was about 8 or 9, I can't remember how old she was when we got Willow. I think 8 or 9 or maybe something around there. We got Willow. And the plan always is to have two dogs, but the problem is, it's a good problem to have. Willow is the most perfect dog I can think of. She does everything we ask her to do. She's not a beggar. She stays in the yard. We have a busy... I mean, she just does... And we don't want to risk it. We bring in another dog. We might risk this peace we have. And you know, my in-laws show up with little Quinn. I'm like, oh my gosh. And for a second, my heart's like, I want more. And then the second went by. And we got to the minute. And then I thought, oh, I see why. We don't have another one. And I'm glad that we don't have another one. But little Quinn, you know, she'll be there after we eat and just sniffing like a little Hoover. Getting the little crumbs that fell off. The dogs eat the crumbs. And what does she say here? Number one, she spoke something that was true. That is true. That's a true statement. But she was saying, what was that? That was a bold statement saying, I don't need the main bread from you. All I need from you is a crumb. Your crumbs can take care of this problem. That's a faith statement. Now, so she says something to him. Now remember, four times she's been denied. Verse 28, then, everybody say then, not before then. The fire hydrant full of the water, the blessing to put out that fire was there the whole time, but it wasn't till then that the thing started to spray. Then he said unto her, woman, great is your faith. So what do we know? That last thing she said to him, she just all of a sudden flipped over into something. Faith. When she's crying out, Son of David, have mercy on me. Obviously, that's not a faith statement because when she got into faith, then he answered her what she wanted. When she's going to the disciples, crying after them, evidently not faith because the fire hydrant just staying there doing nothing. And then she comes back and hears Jesus. And then she says again, help me, Lord, help me. That wasn't the way she approached him. It wasn't faith either. And he said, I'm not here. It's not right for me to give the bread to the dogs when the children need to eat. And then she flipped over into faith. And all of a sudden, what happened when she said, truth, Lord? See, that fire hydrant sitting there, houses burning, people struggling, possessions being ruined, fire out of control, that fire hydrant just sitting there. And a fireman can pull up, and if the fireman doesn't do the right thing, it doesn't matter that fire hydrant's there, but if they go over with their hose and hook into that thing, things then start changing. When she said, truth, Lord, but the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table, it was the equivalent of her taking the hose off the truck, walking over to the fire hydrant, hooking it in, and turning that thing on high, and the blessings flowing. And Jesus said, great is your faith. Be it unto you as you will or want it to be. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour, that moment. Things changed for her. Now, let me go over some things here to drive home the point even further. Number one, you have to understand something about Jesus that will help you understand this. Jesus loved children. When Jesus is ignoring her, when Jesus is saying, I'm not here but for the lost sheep of Israel, when Jesus is saying, it's not right for me to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs, her daughter being a dog in comparison to the children. Her daughter's not a Jew. She's not a Jew. Her daughter's not a Jew. Remember when Jesus is saying that, he has nothing but pure love for children. How do we know? Well, I won't go there. But three places in the Bible, Jesus talked about children. Remember when he talked about children? Till you become like a child, be like, the greatest in heaven are like little children. He magnified them. Remember when he said, it's not right to mess with children. He took that serious. He said, you cause one of these little ones to stumble, it would be better for you to tie a millstone around your neck and go jump in the water. He didn't take it lightly, did he? How many times suffered the little children to come unto me and he'd take them in their arms? Praise God. How about when he raised Jairus' daughter from the dead? Jesus loved children. You have to understand this now, because religion would say, well, Jesus just changed his mind, or Jesus just dangled on the carrot long enough. No. Also, you got to remember this, the Jesus rule. What's the Jesus rule? The Jesus rule states this. This is the rule I came up with by the Bible. I call it the Jesus rule. The Jesus rule states this, that you can see who your Father is in heaven. Just look at Jesus. You want to know who God is? Just look at Jesus. Is God a sickness giver? Was Jesus. Is God a healer? Was Jesus. Is God a blesser? Was Jesus. I say, what do you mean I can look at Jesus? Well, Jesus said in John chapter 5, I only do as I see my Father do. What's he saying? Everything I do on earth, because I've seen him do it. If he's healing, because I see my Father healing. He's blessing, because I see my Father blessing. So, remember, Jesus was the walking, talking God in the flesh. Yeah. Well, 1 John 4:8 says that your God is love. Yeah. So remember this now. He loves children. He's a lover. So when the daughter's grievously vexed the devil, it's not a light thing to Jesus, is what I'm trying to say. He's not just like, oh, who cares? Even though his responses seem like he's brushing her off. He's not brushing her off. He's trying to pull her up higher. Because the place that she's approaching him from is not a place that you can receive from. And he wants her to be able to receive. Why? He loves children. He is a God of love. And remember this, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He didn't all of a sudden just decide, I'm going to say no, and then I'll just say yes. Because no, it wasn't up to him. He's always ready to bless you. He's always ready to provide for you. He's always ready to change your situation. It's up to you. And when she changed, he did something about it. That's what happened. So knowing this, that he loved children, he's bound by love, never changes. He wasn't being mean by ignoring her. But it seems so mean. No. What's mean is when you coddle somebody's unbelief. I had one person call me one time. They had an unexpected financial attack in their life. And I always tell you, call me. I'll coddle you in the sense of be compassionate and love you, but I'll also give you a faith pep talk in the meantime. Because I'm not going to leave you in a place of despair. Because as a Christian, really, we have no despair. We have all the answers. We have the victory. And if you are in despair, and if you are hopeless, and if you are discouraged, you just don't know enough yet. Because you have no reason to be discouraged. No reason to be hopeless. No reason to be despair, because he's got your answer. I texted someone today. I was led by the Holy Ghost to send this text out to a person that was going through something. And I knew that the devil was dealing with them with thoughts. And I said, it doesn't matter. Actually, let me just read the text. Let me find it. I'll read it to you word for word. God's bigger. Sent this at 2:25 in the p.m. today. Good thing it wasn't the a.m. God's bigger than any lie the devil could conjure up and tell your mind. So it doesn't matter what the devil says. Because regardless of what he says, God's bigger than that. And that's my point. If you're in despair, in discouragement, you're hopeless, you just don't know enough, because in the light of the Word, you have no reason to be hopeless. You have no reason to be discouraged. You have no reason to be in despair. You just don't know enough yet. Hallelujah! And they called me and they said about this financial trial, back to that. But the way they called me, said, this happened to me, I am... And they were, it was naturally bad. They said, I am so worried. Don't say that to me.
Amen.
And expect... I mean, we're going to get a pep rally real quick if you say that to me, because I can't leave you there.
Yeah.
I'm so worried is not a place of receiving.
Right.
It's not a platform of getting the flow of what you need from Him. Now, what's mean would be for me to say, oh, I'm so sorry this is happening to you, and oh my gosh, what are we going to do? That's mean.
Yeah.
I said to the person, this is word for word, I said, well, we need to change that response real fast. They're expected just a pity party. You ain't going to get a pity party for me. Pity parties don't receive. Now again, I'm being compassionate. I get it. People go through things. You need love. You need care. You need a hug. You need a soft landing spot. But in that coddle and that hug and in that soft landing spot, this is why you don't need to be afraid. This is why you don't need to worry. This... build them up. And so Jesus isn't ignoring her. He wants her daughter better than she wants her daughter better. He's got a greater capacity to love. He wasn't being mean to her or just dangling some carrot and having fun. Hey guys, watch this. I'm going to let this desperate woman just... No. The problem was her approach. Evidently, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Was the same thing I hear all the time. Lord, help me! That's not a faith cry. Go to the disciples and crying after them. Not approaching them in faith either. And Jesus is hearing this. And He's not changing His response to her. He's just... Now again, He's not trying to drive her away. Why? He's always good, always blessing, always wants to help. He's not trying to get rid of her. But it's not up to Him whether the blessings flow or not. It's not up to Him. It's up to you. And her approach was desperation. Her approach was complete anxiety, full of worry, full of despair and discouragement. And Jesus didn't respond to that.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, remember the children of Israel were kept out of their promised land. Why? The Bible says they murmured, complained, moaned and groaned and wept. Why? It's too hard for us. Help us. Or what are we going to do? How could you do this? And God said, that's not how my blessings flow. I respond to faith.
Amen.
For by grace are you saved. For by grace are you healed. For by grace are you provided for. For by grace are you delivered. For by grace will the doors open. For by grace will the wrong doors close. But it's going to come through your faith. And without your faith, the grace, just like the fire without the hose, the fire hydrant without the hose, the water, the blessings stay put. That's what happens. Well, I have not forgot how to scream in 2 weeks. Still got that down pat. Praise the Lord. His approach was wrong. Now, I'm going to say something that might seem harsh. If you look at Jesus through the wrong perspective, He looked harsh that day. But you know what He proved to me that day? He proved to me that God doesn't just move based on someone's desperate need. God doesn't move based on someone's suffering. How bad it is for them. How tough it looks. How impossible it seems. How hopeless it feels. That doesn't cause Him to move. She was desperate. If you think you're going to get God to move because you're desperate, you're wrong. I'm here to tell you. I'm your Jesus here tonight telling you and ignoring that desperation. That's not how you get it. She was desperate. He didn't answer to desperation. He didn't answer to hopelessness. He didn't answer to worry. He didn't answer to fear. He answered to one thing, faith.
Amen.
Now, think about this. For by grace are you saved through faith. Not by grace are you saved through His mercy. By grace are you saved because He felt bad for you. By grace are you saved because you needed it. No, you were saved by His grace. You had the flow directed your way because you got into faith.
Amen.
Now, I point that out for a reason. You'll never face a more dire situation than you were ever in than the second before you were born again.
Yeah.
That was the worst condition. The darkest place. The most horrible place you've ever been as a human being was the second before you received Jesus into your heart.
Yeah.
That was your darkest hour.
Yeah.
You were lost. You were hellbound. You were gripped by the power of darkness. What's my point? When humanity was in their... See, your financial situation that you're facing is not worse than before you were born again.
Right.
Your financial situation ain't going to send you to hell.
Yeah. Right.
That darkness would have.
Yeah.
That physical thing in your body, it's real, I know, and it's been hard, it's tough, and you feel it. It ain't darker or more hard in the worst place that you were in second before you got born again.
Amen.
That was the worst case. That was the worst position you've ever been in. And God knew it. And He looked at humanity. He said, here I am. Salvation's available to you. It's here. It's ready for you. But the way you're going to get it is by faith.
Amen.
If in your worst situation, He didn't just reach down and rip you from the throes of Satan. He still expected you in your worst condition, His humanity, His beloved creation, to be in faith. What do you think He's doing up in heaven looking at you in your financial situation?
Yeah.
In the situation in your family, in the situation in your money, in the situation, whatever you're facing. He's looking at you and saying, you want what I got? You better approach me in the right way.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. She got His attention. How? When she approached Him in truth. She went from desperation, because faith always comes from truth. He said something. Remember, He's trying to pull her up higher. He's saying, see, He already knows you don't need the bread. You don't need the bread to get this your daughter delivered. You just need a crumb, but I can't give you the bread. The bread doesn't belong to you. But I need you to get the fact that you don't need the bread from me, just need a crumb. So He says, I'm not here to give you the bread. And so what does she respond with? That's true, Lord. I don't need the bread. His ears. I don't need the bread. I just need a crumb. Hooked in, the blessings flowed, her daughter got changed. You can't afford to not be in faith. You can't afford to not be in faith. Go to Romans 4 and verse 18. Praise God. I'm done ever not being in faith in any area of my life. I'm done. It's the wrong platform. You know, we sit around moaning and groaning, wishing God would do something, blaming God, wondering why He's not moving. If you're not in faith, He's not moving. That's what I'm trying to tell you. What is faith? Remember, faith is the hose. You can't say, oh, that fire hydrant's broke. Just not working. Put the hose in it, turn it on, it'll work. It's ready to flow. Someone's just got to hook into it. Romans 4, verse 18, talking about Abraham. Remember, he had a baby, he's 100, Sarah's 90. It says, against hope, believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, neither when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Now this is what I want you to see. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Well, what did God promise? God promised, you're going to have a son. Well, he didn't have that son, he was 100. So Abraham got persuaded, or you could say it this way, got into faith about something impossible, about something with no hope, right? We agree with that. There was no natural hope for this. But the Bible says he was fully persuaded. When we talk about needing to be in faith, we can't afford to not be in faith. This is what I want to ask you. Abraham was fully persuaded that he was going to have a child, even though his body was 100 years old and now dead, the deadness, not heartbeat dead, but deadness of being able to have a baby, his wife being dead, her womb being dead, being 90 years old. He was fully persuaded, I'm going to have a child, regardless of what my body says, regardless of what science says, regardless of what the medical community says, regardless of what my family says, regardless of what Sarah's body's saying, I'm going to be a daddy. He was convinced of it, fully persuaded. Let me ask you a question. Because this verse right here, say, what does faith look like? Right there is what faith looks like. Right there is what faith looks like. Let me ask you. Because we can't afford to not be in faith. And again, we're sitting there every day. Because what is good? What are the blessings? The blessings come from Him. Only He can deliver us out of some of the things we're going through. Only He can change some of the things we're going through. And we have the idea, He's working. But is He working? Because He's only working if you're in faith. He'll only do it if you get in faith. If you don't stay in faith, it's the equivalent of taking the hose and unplugging it from the fire hydrant. Same thing. You have to stay connected to keep the flow going. So I know you might think you're in faith. You might hope you're in faith, and you might behind the scenes be hoping God's moving, God's changes. But is He? He's only doing it if you're in faith. What is faith? Right there is faith. So let me ask you, that which you're believing for, that which the mountain's in your way, that which is telling you no, that which is telling you no way, that which is telling you impossible, those symptoms, that checkbook, that family thing, that issue, whatever, I want to ask you, you be honest with yourself. Don't have to answer out loud. Are you fully persuaded that what the answer to that problem, which God gives you the answer, the Word, is going to happen for you regardless of how many years it's been, regardless of how bad it feels, regardless of how bad it looks, regardless that it looks like there's no way out of this, are you fully persuaded? Because Abraham, when he was in faith, hallelujah, when he was in faith, he was fully persuaded. Remember when he wasn't in faith? It was years ago when they laughed at God and doubted God. I can't answer that question for you. Only you know. Am I? You know, I'll give you an indication of what fully persuaded looks like, of something you can't see. I'm fully persuaded, 100% convinced. Nobody's going to talk me out of this. I don't care what the temperature is outside. I don't care about that. Don't have as much here, but more at my house, the white stuff that you see, the snow. I don't care that we're not even into the season of winter yet, and we're getting snow. We still got a whole winter to go through. I am fully persuaded and convinced I will see summer again. Now, it doesn't feel that way. It doesn't look that way, and it seems like it's far off. I am convinced, fully persuaded. And you might say to yourself, well, yeah, but you've seen this happen before. Yeah, but you've seen God work before in your life too. Same thing. Oh, you think He did something for you one time, He's going to change now? No. Same thing. You're going to blame me for resting on the fact that I've seen multiple summers coming after, you know, winter goes through and spring and summer comes. You could rattle off, well, God was good to me here, and God was good to me here. Well, if God was good to you here and God was good to you here, God's going to be good to you here. Amen. He is. Amen. I'm fully persuaded. There's not a shadow. Okay, that's what fully persuaded and convinced looks like. Are you that way when it comes to your thing? I mean, like, there's no option that summer won't come. It's going to come. Regardless of how cold it gets and what they're saying, how bad the winter's going to be and how much snow we have to go through, I know there'll be 80 degree days. I'm outside. I'm like, man, it's hot out here. I know I'll have those days. And you will too. The humidity's high and winter will be far off in the distance in our minds. Fully persuaded. Well, are you fully persuaded your healing will manifest? Amen. Are you fully persuaded that situation will turn around? Are you fully persuaded that money's coming? If you're not, this is a wake-up call for you. Because we've established tonight, if there's any case that I would think that Jesus would violate the law of faith and go outside the boundaries of the Word, it would be when a woman is desperate with her little girl. And when she came in doubt and unbelief, He didn't budge. You think He's going to budge for you? No, why can't He budge? He's the same. You want God to budge? Faith makes Him budge. Faith makes Him budge.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm thinking of the word spudge. Because Abby, they play spud in school. Abby has trouble sometimes. She calls things her own thing, and she calls spud, spudge. It's not as funny to you, but it's funny to me. You had to be there. It's one of those. You had to be there. Never mind. Forget that. Scratch that whole thing. Just mind your own business then, I guess. Trying to help you here. You want God to budge, you got to be in faith. If there's any time that I would think that, but Jesus, she's so desperate. He's not moved by your desperation. He's not moved by your heartache. Now He feels that He has compassion, but He's not moved to bless that, to change that. He's moved when you get in faith. Faith moves Him. So, I want to finish this up here in the final 5-10 minutes we have here and get done here. It says, being fully persuaded, what would get Abraham from a place of science says no, your body says no, your family says no, history says no, to say, I'm persuaded I'm going to have a child, I'm 100. Well, the answer's right there in that verse. Being fully persuaded that what He had promised. You know where the persuasion and the fully convincing will come from? It will come from His Word. His promise. Go with me to Romans 10:17. Romans 10:17. And we'll look at one more verse and we'll close down. Can't afford to not be in faith, but how do I know if I'm in faith? Am I like Abraham? Am I fully persuaded, convinced? If there's, you know what? Now that I think of it, maybe I haven't been fully persuaded. Okay, well, you better be because God's not moving when you're not. Romans 10:17. So then faith. What's that faith? That hose. Faith is the hose. Faith is the avenue. Faith is the pipeline. That what? Flows everything you need to your life from Him. Faith comes by hearing and hearing. That's a continual and hearing. By the Word of God. Now, think about this for a second. Faith, what you need, comes, pay attention, no talking out there, by hearing and hearing. Hearing and hearing. That's how your faith will come. Faith doesn't come by praying. Doesn't come by praying. You won't find anywhere in the Bible, Lord, give me more faith. That's not how you get faith. Begging for it, pleading for it, asking pastor to pray for it. No. There's one way that faith that you need to get the blessings to flow through to change your life comes. Hearing and hearing the Word of God. That's the only way it comes. Praise God. Now, go to Joshua 1:8 and we'll close on this verse. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. If you could say to me, Pastor Mike, I am, I've seen tonight that I'm probably not where Abraham is. And you've shown me tonight that if I'm not where Abraham is, me expecting God to do something is wasting my time. God will not move if I'm not in faith. He's bound by His Word. Joshua 1 and verse 8. You know, another situation that was so dire that would rival that situation was when Jairus' daughter died. He said, my daughter lies at the point of death. And they came after he ministered to the woman the issue of blood. And he said, don't trouble the master any further. Your daughter's dead. And Jesus looked at the dad and said, if it was just about Jesus doing what Jesus does, it wouldn't matter what the dad did. If Jesus could just do anything, He wouldn't need this woman to be in faith. He could just heal her daughter. But He needs faith to move. And Jairus was told, your daughter's now dead. The problem went from bad to the worst. And Jesus looked at Jairus and said, don't be afraid, just be in faith. Yeah. Don't be afraid, just believe is what he said. But what he's saying is, don't be afraid, be in faith.
Yeah.
What's he saying, Jairus? I can't do anything for you if you're not in faith. It's desperate, it's hard, it looks tough, it's horrible, but I can't do anything for you unless you're in faith.
Yeah.
And that's what God's saying through your little short preacher up here tonight.
Hallelujah.
Trying to get you, pull you up higher.
Amen.
He can't do anything for you until you get in faith.
Amen.
How do you get in faith? Faith comes by hearing. And hearing God's word. Joshua 1:8. So what I'm saying is, if you can say, Pastor, I'm not there. I recognize that tonight, and it's not okay. I need God's blessing, His favor, His grace. Then you need to hear the word, and hear the word, and hear the word on that. You know how many times I bet Abraham replayed in his mind where God visited him and spoke to him and said, you'll be the father of many nations. He'd wake up and have another birthday, get another ache and pain, see his wife getting a little older, new wrinkle, new gray hair. All right. And the thoughts come. And the thoughts come. And he just had to replay that in his head. Father, you said. You didn't say based on how old she is. You didn't say based on what science is. Just because you said it. And he had faith. How do we know his faith? He was fully persuaded. He's convinced. This book of the law, the word of God, shall not depart out of your mouth. But notice this now. But you shall meditate therein, where day and night, that you may observe to do according to all is written therein, for then you shall make your way prosperous. No, it's then. And then you shall have good success. Well, what have we talked about tonight? How do prosperity and good success come? We don't make that happen on our own. They come from the blessings of God. But how do we get God's blessings? God's blessings flow through faith. But if you're meditating in the Word day and night, you're doing Romans 10:17. You're hearing and hearing the Word. And basically what he's saying to you is you need to brainwash your mind to what he says about your problem. It's really just a renewal of the mind. Romans 12 says to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Renew your mind to what? The Word of God. And see, some people, because they've either come from something so long that's told them it can't be a certain way, or they've taken wrong thoughts, it takes them a lot longer. They need a lot more hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing to drive out the wrong and replace it with the new.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, it's the same way. My friend that does renovations, and he remodeled one of our bathrooms that was getting kind of old and bad. And he came in and he said to me, I said, how long is it going to take? He said, I can't answer that question until I start digging some things up. He's like, I don't know if we're going to have to completely replace the floor underneath because I've been in places where they're renewing or remodeling a place. He said, I've been in places where I thought it was going to take this amount of time, but when we went to replace the floor, it was all rotted underneath. So we had to replace everything. That took longer, cost more money. Well, in other times he goes there, and this was one of the cases, thankfully, where he ripped it. Oh, that's fine. We can just put a floor right over top of what's down there.
Amen.
Well, why? It wasn't as bad. Some people have wallowed around in a poverty mindset, a sickness mindset, a worry mindset, a fear mindset, have focused so long on how many years it's been not happening for them or how bad it is that there's a whole lot of junk and stuff up there that needs to be ripped out before the new can be replaced. I always talk about my office that got remodeled. What'd they do first? They didn't just come in and start putting the new stuff with the bad stuff. They ripped out the bad stuff and replaced it with the good stuff. Some people have a lot more ripping out to do. And the only way you'll get there is by hearing over and over and over and over till you get to what? Till I'm fully persuaded. Say, how long do I have to hear it? Till you're fully persuaded. Until you get convinced. And then even from that convincing, see, what happens is, now in my office, there's a maintaining that needs to go on, but not a renovating. When you get to a place, well, I'll just use this. When I started the church in South Dayton, it was $2,000 quit my job and had $2,000 to believe God for every month to pay our bills and meet the needs of our new baby. There was so much wrong thinking to get to have faith for that amount of money every single month. I had to rip so much poverty mindset out of me, lack mindset. There was no abundance thinking in there. It was, holy cow, what am I going to do? That's not faith. I was not fully persuaded or convinced, but there was a lot. Now, I have to maintain that, but I don't have to renovate my mind anymore to financial things. I don't have to renovate it anymore. I continue to continue to maintain that with faith, but I don't have to go back and do it. Why? Because it's been built all along and keep building to better things. But how do you get that fully persuaded? Hear it over and over. Day and night, day and night, day and night, day and night, day and night. You can't afford not to. Why? It's the only way faith comes. So my suggestion to you is be honest with yourself. Because God's not working behind the scenes for you if you're not in faith. I'm just sorry He's not doing it. That woman would be the case if there's any case. And He said, I'm not doing it. You get in faith, I'll move. Whoo-wee. Man, oh man. Were you helped tonight?
Amen.
Let's go ahead and let's pray. Father, we're just so grateful. So thankful for Your Word tonight. Lord, we need to be honest with ourselves and we need to, you know, Your Word says so, to let a man examine himself. To see whether or not you be in the faith. We need to have faith checkups at times. And Abraham was the complete picture of faith. He was fully persuaded. And Father, if we're anything but fully persuaded that the money's going to come, that the deliverance is going to come, that the healing's going to come, that the situation's going to turn, that whatever it is we need is going to show up, if we're not fully persuaded, then we have homework to do. And we've learned tonight that it's not okay. We've learned how to get into that place. So Father, I pray that everybody would receive this message in their heart. Go be doers of this Word. Not hearers only deceiving themselves, for the doers of the Word are blessed, not the hearers only. And Father, I pray that people would be honest with themselves and truthful with their own minds and where they're at and what they need to do and lay down old-time religion and stop being mad at You and stop being angry at You. You're not the problem ever. And Father, they would just get in a platform of faith and an avenue of faith into a foundation of faith. And Father, they start to see things change in their lives. And I thank You, Father. Faith is our part. And it is a wonderful part because it is a force that can move the mountains. It is a force that can split seas. That can cause the impossible to happen. That can quench the mouth of lions. That can stop the fiery flames in a furnace. That can take down giants. Glory to God. What a joy and honor it is to be in this thing called faith. So, Father, we thank our faith was refined tonight. Our faith was sharpened tonight. And, Father, we walk out of here changed tonight. Now, if I could ask everybody that's in here to bow your heads and to close your eyes, please. Please, nobody looking around. I want you to ask yourself this question tonight. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? When I ask myself that question, I know for sure, yes, I'd go to heaven. So how can you know for sure? Well, I followed the roadmap. God told me how to get there. And I did what He said. I followed the directions. He said, if I believe on Jesus, confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from that Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, He said, I'll be saved. If you're here tonight and you could say, Pastor, I'd like to go to heaven. I'm not sure if I would. I want to. I don't think I would. I don't know. I don't want you to leave here uncertain about your eternity. He doesn't want you to be uncertain about it. It's a gift He provided for you. So with heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around, I won't embarrass anybody, won't have you stand up, come forward, say anything on your own. If you could say, Pastor, I'm not 100% sure that I go to heaven, but I want to. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Would you just lift your hands if you want to receive Jesus here tonight? He's your ticket to heaven. Anybody at all that's never done that. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Just lift your hand high in the air. Anybody want to receive Jesus tonight before we close the service? Father, I don't see any hands in this building, so I trust that we're all born again walking with You. But if by chance somebody in this room or listening by live stream now or on the archives in the future is not born again, I pray they would not pass from this life till they made Jesus their Lord. And I pray, Father, that they wouldn't let pride get in the way or any other thing. They just would cry out to you. And for those of you that maybe are listening online or on live stream, or if by chance you are in this room and you've never received Jesus, it's so simple. All you do is say, Lord, I believe. Just cry out to Him. Lord, I believe in You. I believe You died. I believe You rose again. And I ask You to come into my heart. If you'll pray that and mean it, He'll do His part. He'll save you. Heaven will become yours. Praise God. He'll become your Father. You'll be in the greatest family there ever was. Father, we just are so grateful tonight and so thankful. We praise Your holy name. We worship You. Will you stand with me to Your feet and worship Him tonight? He's worthy of that, isn't He? Thank Him for this force of faith. Thank Him from this message you got. I'm not saying for me, but the message you got from the Word. You need this ingrained in you. Lord, we're so blessed to be in a church that teaches truth. We're so blessed to be in a church that tells us what's right and what's wrong. Father, thank You for faith. We glorify You tonight. We pray. We choose faith in every area. I choose faith tonight, Father. And we give You the glory and the praise. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. We'll see you Tuesday night. You're dismissed. Hallelujah.